Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the first of our virtual ILS Asia 2021 event broadcasts. Please do visit the event website to see the details of our kind sponsors, without whom we couldn't put on this event, as well as to view our event agenda and all of the video content from the conference, which will be archived there. So as we look to update you on ILS activity and opportunities across the Asia region, always with one eye to the future, this year we focus on our theme of expanding market access and opportunities. And so for this first broadcast, I'm delighted to be joined by Simon Lam, Executive Director, General Business at the Hong Kong Insurance Authority. Simon, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Steve, for inviting.
You're welcome. It's great to have you with us. So Hong Kong has been actively developing its regulatory regime for insurance-linked securities business as it seeks to offer another location in Asia from where ILS can be transacted. And obviously this is good for the industry because it's additional choice and also a new access point for risk for the global investor base. Now, the regulatory details are almost complete and details of a pilot ILS grant scheme have also recently been announced. So I felt it was really relevant for our conference this year to discuss progress in Hong Kong with Simon and to hear about the latest developments from him. So Simon, to begin, perhaps you could share with us what Hong Kong has achieved so far in establishing itself as a potential ILS domicile.
Yeah, sure, Steve. To begin with, our work actually started not too long ago in 2019. So we've been working under a very compressed timetable. I just want to share with you a couple of key milestones. So July last year, we managed to put the insurance amendment bill, which provides a new special purpose vehicle regulatory regime to our legislature. And it was, I still remember it was passed in the last Legislative Council session. I think it's if I remember, it's the second last item. So for those who know how the legislative process in Hong Kong worked at that time, you would agree with me that this didn't come easy. And otherwise, I will not be in your interview today, Steve. Then the legislative process was completed in January this year after two subsidiary legislation were passed, which introduced the details of the investor sophistication requirement, the minimum investment size, and also the penalties for breaches, all that. Then we started building our licensing and supervision infrastructure in March this year. And this was done with the strong support of an ILS working group and experts from the notable ILS market players. As we all know, you know, being efficient in the licensing is very, very important for ILS issuer. And at the same time, we also started an ILS capacity building exercise for the staff of the insurance authority through the engagement of professional ILS consultant. And the final piece, as you mentioned just now, Steve, was when the pilot ILS grant scheme was launched by the Hong Kong government in May this year. So if you look back, within a kind of 2.5 years, we are getting ourselves prepared. If you ask me where are we now, I would say that we are 99% ready for the first issuance. It is really a kind of, you know, running while we are learning to walk, and we are doing fine. So thanks to the great support of the government and also as well as the ILS industry stakeholder. And in parallel, we are soliciting support from potential sponsors. And I'm pleased to advise that, you know, we are already working on the first cat bond. And hopefully, if all things go well, we will have the first ILS issue out of Hong Kong within this year.
That's very positive news, Simon, and good to hear that you're working closely with sponsors as well, as that's always important. The ILS grant scheme that you mentioned has certainly got the attention of the industry. Perhaps you could explain a little more about how that's going to work.
Sure. We realize it's very important to have a grant scheme to kickstart our ILS domicile. And basically what we've done is to put together a scheme that who are eligible. The eligible applicants are the onshore and also offshore issuers and sponsors. And it will include supranational and multilateral organization as well. The eligible issuance, as you can imagine, need to be issued in Hong Kong, and the size will be at least 32 million US, that's around 250 million Hong Kong, or equivalent in foreign currency. And at least 20% of the upfront issuance cost, we will expect them to be spent locally with Hong Kong-based service providers. As far as the grant, the sum of the grant is concerned, so we have two categories. For those IOS with a maturity 3 or more years, then the grant per issuance will be 1.5 million US or 100% of the total cost incurred, whichever is the lower. And for those IOS with a shorter maturity, so 1 year to 3 years, the grant per issuance will be 750,000 US or 50% of the total cost incurred. The eligible issuance costs basically are very, very similar. I mean, you would not expect anything different. So it will include, you know, fees to the arrangers, brokers, structurers, legal advisors, the risk modeler, trustees, custodian, administrator, and auditors, of course, accountants, rating agency, the CMU lodging and clearing fees. And we also want to make sure that, you know, any other ancillary expenses reasonably incurred in issuing the IOS will also be covered. I just want to highlight one particular point, which is the disbursement process. Because we actually have taken note based on our interaction with the market that this is a very important point. So we have taken note of the feedback of the stakeholder, and we have set up a very streamlined process for the disbursements, which is important. So that basically is the overarching detail, so to say, of this grant scheme.
No, that sounds all encompassing and very, very important to include so many of the actors involved in the issuance and make sure that they're covered by the grant as well, as that will help to sort of foster the local service industry that evolves around ILS as well. How long is the grant scheme going to run for?
Well, it's a 2-year program, but it's a pilot program. So what we'll do is we will regularly review the program before deciding if there's a merit to roll over the program. So what I want to say is your response will be important.
Well, I think the grant schemes are very, very useful, especially for getting up and running. And I hope that perhaps we can turn the grant of funding over to actually helping to make the issuance more efficient and reducing people's costs that way in future. I think that's very important as well. But it's a great attraction for issuers, which is probably the main reason for having a grant scheme in place. But how else is Hong Kong going to be able to attract mainland China and, for that matter, Asian issuers, which we'd love to see more of?
Yes, to start with, Hong Kong is not only targeting at Asian issuers, but obviously our geographical location and time zone will predispose us to the Asian issuer segment. Mainland China is an important cornerstone in our IOS strategy. So with the rapid growth of the mainland insurance market, we're seeing very strong demands for risk transfer against net cat, such as earthquake and also typhoons. And for Hong Kong, we have an open and mature capital market, a solid legal system, as well as a wealth of professional talents with international perspective. Hong Kong can serve as a platform for mainland insurer to issue cat bond. So this also helps to promote Hong Kong financial services sector in a very sustainable manner. So in this context, specific to your questions, I just want to highlight that the mainland government has put up an official policy initiative to support mainland insurer to issue catastrophe bond in Hong Kong, both to promote ILS and also in the context of the Greater Bay Area Development Initiative. So we are, at the Insurance Authority, we are also in close liaison with our peer regulator in China, the China Banking and Insurance Regulatory Commission, on the policy support initiative. So these are very strong policy support in terms of, you know, so to say, kick-starting Hong Kong as an IOS domicile.
Yes, that sounds very positive as well. I mean, the Chinese market is one that the ILS industry watches very closely. And as you say, the insurance industry there is expanding very, very quickly now. And I think there's a real opportunity there to allow ILS to assist in that growth as well.
Yes.
But getting down to the fundamentals of using Hong Kong as an ILS issuance base, can you explain some of the key requirements that people are going to face for setting up special purpose insurers and getting them authorized?
Right. We in setting up our regime, we have made close reference to the existing practices in the market. So hence our requirement should not be anything new to the ILS market players. This is very important because we want to ensure that all the stakeholders will find our regime familiar, so to say, and also convenient. And this is very important to a startup ILS domicile like Hong Kong. So to go into the requirement, well, we need an administrator and at least two directors whom we deem to be fit and proper. Either the administrator or at least one director, and I mentioned, I want to emphasize only one director would need to be located in Hong Kong. This is a special arrangement because we want to cater for the early days of Hong Kong as an ILS domicile when we do not yet have many ILS services provider operating out of Hong Kong. Then the cardinal requirement, as we all know for ILS, is, you know, the fully funded requirement, then the prudent investment requirement, the limits, all that basically are the same as what you would expect from other ILS regime. And we will also generally consider all the factors similar to other ILS jurisdictions. When it comes to investors' sophistication, again, bearing in mind of the nature of the ILS investment, we are targeting at institutional professional investors, such as banks, insurers, broker-dealers, collective investment schemes that do not target the public in Hong Kong. And the minimum investment amount is a quarter of a million of US. Then that basically is what it is. And I hope that, you know, you, as I said at the outset, you will not expect anything that is very different from what the ILS player will expect, because this is very much the norm already.
Mm. Absolutely. And it's important to keep that sort of aligned with how they would issue in other countries in the world. You mentioned service providers there, and obviously it's very important to sort of foster a community of experienced service providers who have ILS expertise in Hong Kong as you grow this initiative.
Yes.
So are you in discussions with international companies about this? Are you talking to people trying to encourage them to come and set up in Hong Kong now?
Yes, actually, it all started when we built the ILS regime, because in putting together what we have now, we have set up an ILS working group with experts, representative from the key ILS market players. They provide very strong support in the development of our ILS regime. We think that this is really the most important first step, because ultimately they are the user of the ILS regime. Getting them involved is important. It's more than just telling them, looking, invite them to come. To start with, they need to feel that, you know, this ILS regime is really something that they look forward to working in. So that's the first point. And we, as a regulator, we also fully appreciate the importance of working with these users. And we also have a chance and opportunity really to learn from them the strong points, as well as the lesson from other ILS domiciles. So I think this is really the starting point. The rest is really to do with how the ILS services provider feel that, you know, this is a place where sponsor will come. And I mean, later on, I'm sure that we will discuss a little more on how we actually trying to do so.
Yes, so it'd be interesting to hear from you perhaps what sort of initiatives you are progressing to try and attract sponsors.
Yeah, this is a journey of building up. I have to say, you know, if you have seen how other ILS regime start off, so it's a journey of building up. to the sponsors and the iOS service provider, I suppose a new iOS domicile to them, the key is not only to do with the grant scheme, but the confidence in Hong Kong being as efficient and effective as other iOS regime. So the broader context of how iOS fits into the Greater Bay Area strategy, as well as the strategic development of the financial services sector of Hong Kong, are important, because this will help the market player to realize that how much importance we attach to developing Hong Kong as an iOS domicile. We would like to see Hong Kong anchoring in three segments. First one, as I said earlier, is the mainland sponsors. The second one is the supranational organizations. The third one is other sponsors who are not necessarily Asian-based. Early on, you asked as to, you know, how, what are we doing in terms of attracting the services provider to come? And I will try to share with you my views that, you know, this is to do with really ecosystem building. As a regulator, we focus on building a congenial environment for the iOS sector. Addressing the start of the value chain is important. The start of the value chain really is to attract sponsors, because they will create business opportunities for the iOS service providers. And this will then create a reinforcing cycle of attracting sponsor and iOS services provider and put Hong Kong as the marketplace for iOS. And this is really what we want, to put our, so to say, development on a positive, you know, reinforcing growth track. The fact that we have strong support from the mainland government, as well as the vast potential of the mainland market in terms of iOS, will help us to kickstart. I think this is important. So once we have get started, then we get the attention, and we have also have a very good basis to try out, to show to the stakeholder that everything is working, then I think the momentum will be there. So then the next phase of development is very obvious. We start with cat bond, but we would like to extend to other iOS products, such as collateral reinsurance and also the sidecars. So to go with it, obviously, the construction of the relevant infrastructure, such as the PCC, will be important. So it will take the first few issuances for our stakeholder to see for themselves that everything is working out fine in Hong Kong. And in a capital market, which is well known and proven to be one of the best in the world. So what I want to say is, to the early birds, we thank you for your trust. And to the quick follower, and also to the wait and see, we thank you for your patience.
That's really good to hear that you have ambitions to broaden out beyond the cat bond as well. I think that's very important, and could be very intriguing as to how Chinese insurers may look to structures such as sidecars based in Hong Kong in years to come. If you were to sort of get your crystal ball out and think about the future, where would you like Hong Kong's ILS market to be in 2 or 3 years' time?
Yeah, I think we should have already hit the ground running. As I mentioned, with strong support from the sponsors from the mainland insurance market. If you look at how the mainland insurance market is growing and how the risk is accumulating, there's certainly a very, very strong need to tap into the capital markets. So I think this is really provide the basics. On the other hand, what I really want to see is, you know, the iOS market needs further diversifications options. So introducing underlying risks that are not yet, so to say, prevalent in the iOS market is very important. We want to be able to do so by bringing the mainland risks into the capital market through the iOS offering. So this is the second thing we want to do. The third thing is really to nurture new and additional iOS investors in this iOS space. That's very important. So all in all, we are therefore, you know, while traditionally it will be very much a US and also European-based iOS investor, But if you look at, you know, the way that iOS could be developing in Asia, I certainly see that there is a wider potential audience for iOS investors. So therefore, if you put all those together, what we want to do is, you know, Hong Kong, we want Hong Kong to be adding to the development of the iOS market. We might be a new competitor, so to say, to the existing regime, but that's not what we are after. We want to be able to make sure that we do our job well, as I mentioned earlier, be as effective and efficient as other regime, so that the sponsor would have a choice. And we also hope that, you know, by putting together a good platform, that US or European-based services provider will find it meaningful for them to consider to expand into the Asian time zone, which is what is required, because otherwise they would not be able to follow the sponsors here.
No, that all sounds very promising. I mean, the two things you touch on there that I think are key for any domicile in ILS is offering choice, additional choice. The market is always open to that. And then diversification, both in terms of risk and in terms of capital and type of investor. I think those two things are possibly the main drivers for the market requiring new issuance locations. It allows the industry to expand more rapidly and opens it up to other people who perhaps didn't know about it previously as well. Thank you, Simon. I really appreciate your input today. It was great to speak with you.
Thank you very much, Steve.
So following this keynote interview with Simon, we're actually going to move straight into a panel discussion with market participants and the Hong Kong Insurance Authority to discuss considerations for sponsors and investors around the new regime. So please do stay tuned as this will follow very shortly. So thank you again, Simon. I wish you well and look forward to talking to you soon.
Same talk.